Hey guys, huge response to my interview or two interviews with Warren Matthews from New Zealand and his formulation to apparently dramatically improve his pulse wave analysis results, etc. And huge interest in that and really appreciated a lot of you guys got on board. So there's a few questions put in the many, many comments, and we decided we do a quick podcast and Warren could address a whole series of the questions. So it'll be kind of rapid fire. Version, and we'll go through them all, and hopefully yours will get answered. So great to see you here again, Warren. I know you're busy as hell as usual, but good to see you there. You're looking great.
Good to be back again, Ivan.
And actually, I might just run that short little video clip with my graphs to show the PWA results because some people mightn't have seen the original one. So I'll just show that now. We'll note that Warren was 72 when he got his first test in January 2020. And his son Kirk was 42, who got the test concurrently. So how did Warren do? Well, he came in at an arterial age of 56. Now, presumably, one would expect back here when he had massive calcification and his valve had to be replaced, he wouldn't be coming in at an arterial age that good. But this was after 6 months or so of, reducing the bread and perhaps fewer meals. He had been living healthily for decades in his own mind, no processed food and junk, but really cutting out the bread and carbohydrates would have been important. And of course, he was taking for over 6 months the formulation that we'll talk about later in this podcast. Kirk's son at 42 came in at an arterial age of 73. Now, Kirk is not overly healthy or healthy lifestyle, to say the very least, but this was a bit of a wake-up call for him. So it was great that he got that result to maybe pay some attention to his health. So he began to take the formulation too, understandably. So what happened to Warren when he got his new test, the next test, December 2020? Well, essentially, he'd fallen again and a very unusual 40 years old arterial age, which is very remarkable for someone of 73, especially with a history of severe heart disease. So that was excellent, and Warren was obviously very happy. So how did Kirk do? He was the one with the wake-up call. Well, 6 months later, in June, he got another PWA test, and he had been taking the formulation and trying to be better with the lifestyle and diet. And he did very well. He was down to an arterial age of 42, which is actually his real age. So anyway, there are the results from the PWA. It's N equals 2. I think this will be a fascinating area to look into going forward.
Yes, the results which you see there, I got to admit, they were better than what I expected because I'd ex thought I'd have some sort of improvement, maybe a few years down, but to go from 56 down to 40 in 11 months, I hope other people can achieve the same results.
Yeah, well, it's N equals one, or sorry, N equals two with Kirk, but I think it's a great area to look into going forward. And I think you're looking into doing a bit of a trial maybe and other stuff like that in the future. So that's going to be interesting. So one of the first ones was just around your calcification results on that. And I know we talked at length about that years ago, but in the podcast, we didn't really touch on it too much. So maybe just give an overview of calcification readings.
Yes, well, I didn't actually find out about the CIC scan until after I'd had the surgery, unfortunately, and that was only when I did the research and came across you. And I mentioned it to the doctor, and they basically knew nothing about it. But I insisted I should have one, and I said I'd pay for it privately. So it was agreed to do it, and they did it, and I came out with a score of around about 1,000. But unfortunately, of course, when I had that surgery, they put some various clips in there with, so that sort of distorted the readings somewhat. So that's what makes it difficult. But the score was just a little over 1,000. Now I propose doing another one around the middle of this year, so that would make it about 2 years since I had it done, to see whether in fact it's been improved. I'm not expecting a massive improvement, but as you've pointed out, the important thing is to try and stop the progression of it. So I'd be quite happy if it ended up being about the same or slightly less.
Yeah, and the whole thing about calcification is I always tell people it's like a scar. So it's like scars of battle from the period where you were driving the inflammatory disease. And some people do actually reverse a little the calcification where it leaches back into the system. And some people steadily keep rolling on upwards, but at a lower rate as the calcification kind of heals and consolidates and gets denser in the old plaque. So it's a very tricky one. But also, if you have clips in there, exactly. I asked Dr. Scott Murray, cardiologist, people with stents, I said, how much of a score does a stent give? And he said, look, it's very hard to say. Once you have stents or clips, you get really bright white artifacts. And he said, you could easily get several hundred points per stent. So, it's just really tricky when there's metal in there because you're looking for tiny spots of calcium in your arteries. But if you got kind of metal lugs, obviously it's going to blow things away a little. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, that's what, in fact, the radiologist said to me as well. Now, I did not have any stents because I refused to have stents at all. And bearing in mind that where the clips were was on a single artery because my arteries were basically not too bad, except for one which had some build up of plaque in it, and they normally wouldn't do a bypass on that, but given the fact that it was having I was having the valve replaced and the chest opened up, and said we might as well do it, as long as in fact that you can use the vein in the chest, and I didn't want to have anything taken out of the leg. But when they put it in, they apparently put some metal clips in there, and that's what sort of throws the whole system out.
Yeah, absolutely no stents. They're very rarely of any great benefit, absolutely. But again, clips, kind of similar. Stents are tiny metal coils, so clips might give similar, few hundred points each, but we don't know. So very good. The other one was around the PWA test. So I was familiar with it, but I wasn't familiar with where you can get it. So I think it's relatively widely available compared to even calcium scanning, which requires a full 64 slice CT machine. So maybe, do you know where you'd get that generally or around the world or?
Well, when I started doing some research in it, there's a lot of, in fact, it's available just about everywhere around the world. But I suggest that what somebody does is to go into Google and then do a search for it. Now, there's a link which I've given you, which I think maybe we can give to people, which they could search for the specific test. And I noticed that there was somebody from Australia that asked where they could get it in Australia, and interesting enough, the particular method was actually developed in Australia and in Sydney. So anyway, I also did a small video on that subject some time ago, and perhaps maybe you could put a link up to that, and if people want to get more information on it, they can find it there.
And another one was just around a few people commenting or having difficulty ordering, or is it available to all countries in the world? And I guess that's down to maybe just to, glitches or something, because I think you pretty much ship everywhere.
Yeah, that was an interesting one because there were quite a few comments there, mainly from people in the UK that had difficulty, placing the order for the CX8. And what happens is this, is that we have multiple websites, excuse me, the main one's the global one, which is in the US, but we have specific ones for Australia, for the UK and New Zealand. And the reason for that is that in all those countries, we're obligated to collect either GST or VAT. So in the case of the UK, we collect it on a monthly basis, then pay to the authorities in the UK. Now, usually what happens if somebody's in the UK and they go on to the global site or the US site, then they should be automatically redirected, to the local site. But sometimes, particularly if they're using a computer, say from work, the redirect doesn't always work. And to overcome that, you can actually just put in uk.extendlife.com and that will get you to it. Or alternatively, just simply email our customer service people, and they would actually arrange to do it manually, for them. And perhaps you could put the email address up for them in the information that you put down below.
Yeah, and that might be used because I think I went on as well and put the UK site and it kind of flicked back to the generic.com. So it, with cookies and all and settings, that could still be a problem even if you try and put the UK. So email if you have a problem, it's the easiest one. Someone mentioned as well maltodextrin, and I kind of quickly answered and explained the amounts you're talking about of maltodextrin are tiny and they're only a carrier, but maybe explain why the maltodextrin is in there at tiny levels.
Yes, we don't add maltodextrin at all, but some of the ingredients use, as you said, maltodextrin as a carrier. For example, natokinase. Now, natokinase, you know, can't be supplied just on its own. It has to have a carrier. And so the normal carrier which is used is maltodextrin. But the amount used, as you say, is very, very minimal. But, you know, it can be, people can be reassured we do not add maltodextrin. And as a matter of fact, in the case of the CX8, there are no excipients at all, you know, in that product. So the only excipients or other items are actually incorporated within the actual, you know, raw ingredients themselves, which are necessary to produce them in the first place.
Okie doke. And soy was mentioned. I know a lot of people aren't exactly enamored with soy, but usually in soy in foodstuffs and in large quantities. But apparently soy is listed on the label, and that might be because some subcomponents may have been derived from soy.
We've sort of gone and made a point over the last few years of removing anything related to soy in any of our products. But there are always some ingredients that have a component where part of the active may have been extracted from soy in the first place. Now, in the case of the CX8, ironically enough, I hadn't noticed that it had that on the label that it contains soy, but it doesn't contain soy as such. And the crazy thing is that we are required to actually put it on the label if in fact anything was even derived from the first place, even though it bears absolutely no resemblance, you know, to soy, you know, whatsoever. So that is, although it's on the label, it's nothing to be concerned about at all, because as I said, I'm also anti-soy as well.
Yep, very good. And there's actually something else on that. Well, no, the other one I was thinking of was some comments around the cost. And that's understandable because it seems like a lot. But I've worked in high volume manufacturer of high tech components. And I know that the margins in our industry were quite enormous. But I also went through this with you way back at the start on the actual cost of the ingredients, because I'm interested in that because I've been involved in manufacturing so much. But you've got 8 components from 8 different suppliers, and the actual margins are pretty tight. But maybe you could give people an idea, if they go and even buy direct, the reality of what the costs would look like.
Well, I think probably the easiest way to sort of deal with this issue is just to look at just a couple of ingredients. One which is very easy, of course, is deltatocotrienols. Now, it's easy enough to go online and have a look at, you know, what is available. So what you have to do is take the amount of milligrams that are in a daily dose of the CX8, multiply it by 30, so you know the total number of milligrams in a month's supply, and then look at other alternative products and that are using the same, you know, delta tocotrienols. Now remember that there are tocotrienols and there are tocotrienols, but there's only the one delta tocotrienols, which is from Anato. Now, if you have a look at that, I found one yesterday where from a good brand, and it would have in fact involved $100 US for an equivalent amount of tocotrienols. And then if you look at, to try and find the Sinothox, the best I could find well for that was also around about $100. So just on those two components alone, if you bought them individually, you'd be looking at about $200 a month. And also bear in mind,
yeah,
of
that's
course,
just the reality.
Yeah, and bearing in mind also that what we're doing is giving that introductory discount of 10%, so that brings the cost down to a little over $60. Plus, of course, we're doing free shipping. Plus, of course, in what we're doing for your subscribers is giving them a complimentary bottle of magnesium as well. But bearing in mind that that particular the magnesium component expires at the end of this month, so as long as they get in over the next week, be good as gold.
That's it, and that's new customers, of course, only, not existing, in fairness, because of a systems challenge. But the other thing is people need to understand the economy of scale. So the reason it seems kind of hugely lower cost than buying the eight independently is buying the eight independently, all of those manufacturers have to bottle them, develop them, manufacture them, ship them, all for each component. There's all that extra waste, if you will. But if you bring them all together into a manufacturing outfit like your own and put them all together, you've only got one set of manufacturing and shipping and all the other infrastructure. So again, if people haven't been involved in manufacturing in high volume, it'll be harder to understand. But there you go. That's why it's vastly more cost efficient to get them in a formulation than to go individually. So, but people can go individually if they want. That's the whole point. So what else did I jot down here?
Sorry, I was also going to mention that one other aspect which helps is the fact that we're fully vertically integrated, in the respect that instead of having a manufacturer having a margin, a distributor having a margin, a market or retail having a margin, we go from the point of manufacture to the end consumer. So consequently, it's not an aggregate of all those normal margins. It's a much more condensed one, and what we've done is work it out as to what will work, and make it viable for everybody concerned.
Yeah, and that's absolutely vertical integration. Again, the high volume, high complexity products I was involved in manufacturing, we were utterly vertically integrated, literally buying in just the raw metals and electronic traces, and then coming out at the end with a fully finished product with a massive supply chain, and we owned the whole lot. Now, we took a vastly bigger profit margin on those profits than I know you have on yours, but that's the nature of the market too that we were in. So CXA, taking it a one time or spaced out, I think you just take it a one time pretty much, not a big deal.
I always do that. I make a point of just having it at about the same time, have breakfast each morning, but it doesn't necessarily have to be taken with food, but I find it much more convenient to take most of my supplements at the same time. The only thing I don't do is mix the magnesium with the CX8, simply because the magnesium can offset the efficacy of the MK7.
Yeah, and magnesium I tend to take it. I know your particular version is less likely to give you the kind of laxative effect, but either way, the magnesium taken with a big meal always makes more sense for absorption. It's just the nature of it. So that's what I do. What else we got? Insulin levels and HbA1c, just some queries around how you looked for those.
Yes, well, I think it was asked what my levels were like. My insulin levels always been pretty good, but the H1, I can always never pronounce it right, was bordering on the pre-diabetic. And it wasn't diabetic, but it was getting close, even though the insulin levels were okay. But I've since, when I've gone to a much more low-carb type diet, I had it done last time and it was significantly improved. So I'm not at all concerned in that area now at all. But I put that down to some changes in diet, not the supplement.
And actually, funny, I had visitors yesterday evening, a good friend of mine who's in his early 60s, and he brought his bloods. And yeah, his A1C was up nudging. His GGT was up there and a couple of others. And I kind of checked out what he was eating and he was doing okay, but he'd slipped in the last year. And he did point out he's eating a lot of cheese and snacking regularly during the day, a lot of cheese. And I explained that, look, low carb is great and high fat is fine, but if you're getting older and you're not exercising much, cheese is very easy to get a lot of energy density in. And not particularly high protein. It's very high energy density, absorbable fat. So it might be the thing that's just pushing you up there, and maybe consider dropping some of that cheese and sticking to the meat, fish, eggs, you know, and vegetables, and do that for a few months and see can you pull that puppy in. So yeah. There's one here I'm not familiar with, lumbrokinase, saying it may be better than natokinase.
Yes, now that's rather interesting that somebody mentioned that, because this is an enzyme which I've only just recently become aware of. And as a matter of fact, we've already instructed our chief research scientist to look into it. And we're having communications with a Japanese manufacturer of that particular enzyme at the moment. They're claiming the efficacy of it is better than natokinase, and that is something which we're also researching. If it turns out that it is better, then we will look at replacing the natokinase with that particular enzyme. But at the moment, there's very few manufacturers of it, and they're quite difficult to deal with in the respect that they don't want to supply it on its own. They want it only supplied in a blend. So we're looking into that, and but there is some validity from what I can see so far that it's a very effective enzyme. That's not to say that the natokinase is not. I mean, the natokinase has got a long history and well proven, but yeah, it's like all things, that if we find something that is better, we'll look at it.
Yeah, in my technology world, continuous improvement was the phrase we always lived by. So new components come up that may be advantageous, continuous improvement. So absolutely. Fix-It-San asked if beer was still good for him. Maybe he was asking, was it not bad for him? And someone replied, if it's a good quality craft beer, go for it. And I tend to say, you got to live too. So if you're not drinking the sweet gallon and you're having a beer or two, everything in moderation maybe works for some things.
Yeah, it'd be a sad day if we couldn't have a good beer at the end of the day, Ivan.
Well, now for me, like a good red wine that's low in sugar, that's my favorite tipple anyway. That's ideal, because beer, can be described as liquid bread. But, a beer or two, fine. But a lot of my rugby buddies from years ago, they could knock out 16 pints in a night. And that's a different matter. Right. Someone asked about magnesium interacting with K2, MK7. You already mentioned that. Yeah, take it 6-7 hours apart so it can be absorbed separately. So that's fair enough. And someone had a problem with the Ivor CX8 code. Yeah, there was one or two did. Not too many now. But I guess it's back to the email then that we'll link below. I mean, if any problem, go with the email.
Yes, that's the way to do it, because it shouldn't be a problem, but in some cases, technology is not 100% perfect, our customer service manager, she would sort it out, no problem at all. Just drop her an email.
Another person asked about, is it okay for females? Now, I always tell people, in terms of arterial health and heart health, females and males, we have essentially the same machine. There is a difference with females, that whether through iron depletion from the monthly cycle or hormonal differences, there's an element of protection for females up to the menopause. And around 7 or 8 years after menopause, the risk for heart disease kind of goes to matching men. So yeah, females have a bit of an advantage, but physiologically, the system is the exact same for any benefits you can gain from any of these components. So I guess you'd agree with that.
Absolutely. I think that as far as we're concerned, it wasn't developed with a specific gender in mind. It just seemed to appear that it's for males, because I'm using it myself. But no, we've got a lot of female customers using it as well.
And the last one I scribbled down was omega-7. Someone said there's more in fish than in sea buckthorn. Now, I know certainly omega-3, DHA, EPA, yeah. I don't know, omega-7, though, is particularly high in fish. Or do you already know that? Or
if you look at the omega-7 content in fish, like sardines and so forth, and then you look at it in sea buckthorn, there's actually more in sea buckthorn. But then, on the other hand, there's a lot more in the cardio-omega than what there is in the normal sea buckthorn, because of the way they process it. Now, Ivor, you might like to put a link to a page on the Puridea website, which actually has a bar graph showing the differences, or alternatively, you may be able to Yeah, post it up. I don't know, whatever works best for you.
Yeah, I'll put a link below as well after when I edit this one. And I think that's the list, so we'll probably keep it tight because I know your day is starting Monday morning, Sunday night here. And I'm going to go and get myself either a ribeye or perhaps some lamb chops. But it'll be something deliciously meaty, I can assure you of that.
Well, that's good. I think that it was good to be able to cover those points so there was no questions left outstanding. Of course, if anybody has any more, they're easy enough just to either email our customer service or put some more comments on your site.
Great stuff, Warren. And we'll be back anyway with some other interesting topics in the coming weeks, so people can watch out for that. And I guess we leave it at that for today. Thanks a lot, Warren.
Just one thing perhaps I should mention before we go. The coupon for the introductory offer and that free bottle of magnesium is still in effect, the magnesium in effect, till the end of this month. So I just thought I'd mention that as a reminder.
All right, absolutely. I think you did touch on that, all right. Just for another week or so, the magnesium is in, and after that, it goes back to being the 10%.
That's it.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Warren.
Okay, then, Ivan. Well, leave you to go and have your steak.
Great stuff, man. Till next time. Bye now.
Bye now.
Ivor CX8 is the code to use, and for that you'll get 10% off, and for new customers you'll also get a free bottle of magnesium. Now, existing customers will still get the 10% off, but the magnesium, because of system limitations being worked through, can't really be included. So anyway, that code can be used, IverCX8. It gives me a little bit of support to continue to allow me to do the work I'm doing, and also, of course, gives the 10% discount to you. So thank you very much, and great if you can pass this on so that anyone who is interested can avail of the offer and keep everything moving along towards better health. I'll just add one more thing, that delivery at the moment, Warren does offer for $6.50, especially to America, a special courier DHL delivery. And that's because in the current scenario, where it normally takes around a week and a half to go to the US, it can be up to 3 or 4 weeks now because of the current situation. So he subsidizes the courier delivery and keeps it down at a low price of $6.50.